This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter. Presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this St. Patrick's Day edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
Quinn, the most common, one of the most common surnames in Ireland on the Emerald Isle. So there you go. So we'll get into a little bit of that. We're going to jump right in. We got a really busy show. We've got guests back to back today. And we're going to jump right in with welcoming to the show. We haven't had Ambassador Francis Rooney on for a while. To remind our listeners, he represented Florida's 19th Congressional District in the U.S. House from 17 to 21. From 2005 to 2008, he served as the United States Ambassador to the Holy See, appointed by President George W. Bush, and subsequently wrote a book about diplomacy and the U.S. Holy See relationship titled The Global Vatican. Happy to welcome back to the show on this St. Patrick's Day, Ambassador Francis Rooney. Welcome, Ambassador. It's great to have you.
Thanks for having me on.
So do you do anything special for St. Patrick's Day, or is it just another day?
Yeah, I watched President Trump with the Irish ambassador on CNN for a few minutes. That's about it. They all had green ties, had the obligatory green ties.
Oh, yes. I'm lucky I'm Irish, of course, but I have green eyes, and I'm like, you can't pinch me. I've got green eyes. So, we love having you on and getting your take on international issues, kind of what's happening with NATO, and there's so much stuff going on in the world. We've still got Ukraine, Russia, Venezuela, Iran. Obviously, today, the big news breaking, Director of National Counterterrorism, Joe Kent, has resigned. I don't even know where to start with you, Ambassador Rooney. There's just so much. Let's try to sort of winnow it down a little bit.
Okay. You pick.
Well, let's get your thoughts on this because it's breaking news. Joe Kent, there are people are on both sides of this issue. I don't know whether we'll agree or not. Doesn't matter. We want to get your take on what you think about what's happening with this.
Well, I've been a bit of a skeptic on the Iran thing, I have to say. I have been in Iran. I was there before the fall of the Shah.
Oh,
did
wow.
some work over there and am pretty familiar with the culture and the way they operate. Mm-hmm. And I know from research and from some other information that I get that the people of Iran don't follow the regime of the Ayatollahs. And they tried to get free a few times. You know, they had the Green Revolution under Obama, and he ignored him. If he'd helped him, we might have solved this problem right then, but he didn't do it.
Yeah.
And ultimately, they will take control of their country. They are not in sync with the Ayatollahs. And so I don't know that we really need to do this right now, rather than work covertly to help these local groups get to the point where they can change their own destiny.
Okay, yeah, I think a lot of people they're kind of looking at those that may support the actions that the president is taking over. They're looking at it, okay, we've done this, now it's up to you. I mean, we all saw the video of especially the Iranian women casting off the hijabs, dancing in the street, the iconic photos of, you know, lighting up a cigarette and, you know, torching a picture of the Ayatollah. So you're coming down where, okay, now let them take it?
Yeah, and they want to take it. They need some help.
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, if Obama had been any good at all, he would have supported the Green Revolution. They would have solved this problem in 2000, I don't know, 10 or whenever it was that happened.
Mm-hmm. So what does help look like to you?
Help would have been some clandestine support, intel, information on targets, information on where people were, maybe some hard materials like guns and stuff, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you're on X much. I mean, we're on it a lot. It's, of course, it's blowing up. Joe Kent is trending. You've got, you know, one group of people saying that they agree with this, another group saying that they don't. It's getting pretty messy and muddy out there. Hopefully this sort of calms down. What do you think of the timing of this, though?
I guess you could say it's kind of opportune for him, maybe, a little opportunistic to hit the day that there's so much talk about Iran. But at the end of the day, I don't have a problem with the argument that he makes that we should let the Iranians solve their problems and not try to solve them ourselves. This is a complicated country with 100 million people in a very difficult geography.
Yeah.
And it puts a lot of other people at risk by doing this.
Well, right now we're sort of in the fog of social media, which always tends to muck things up, frankly. It gets pretty crazy out there. So we'll have to wait and see how it all shakes out. And I appreciate your take on a lot of this and your insights, especially, you know, you having been there and been on the ground there before all of this, you know, so 47 plus years ago. Can I switch over for you a little more domestic? What's happening right now with the SAVE Act? Again, that's another one where everybody's got hot takes. Everybody's got opinions. What's your take on this?
Well, you know, I think that the ICE expansion mm-hmm. could have been handled better, okay? They could have mm-hmm. indoctrinated those people that they rounded up to become ICE agents into some of law enforcement procedures and protocols and taken mm-hmm. some of the rough edges off of them. Mm-hmm. It's a two-sided thing. I mean, you know, obviously you're out there, you're on the firing line, you've got people that are emotional and on both sides. But it's incumbent on law enforcement to follow the Constitution.
Yeah.
And I'm not so sure they've always done that here recently.
Okay. Some of the optics, and obviously we're talking the two incidents up in Minnesota where the two individuals were killed.
They didn't read any rights. They didn't give any kind of, they just took them out.
Yeah, again, it's the sort of the fog of being on the ground. I kind of come down on it's. I have a lot of law enforcement in my family, and it's hard to second guess what anybody would do. That's why I always appreciate elected officials who go on ride-alongs, who go with them and to see kind of how.
Yeah, I've done plenty of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So did that give you a different perspective on it? Not necessarily regarding this, but just in general.
No, when it comes to the constitutional rights, that's law enforcement's primary obligation before wrapping mm-hmm. somebody up. You got to do it.
Mm-hmm. So
now, obviously, if someone's pointing a gun at you, you point a gun back at him and shoot him. But that didn't happen here.
Okay. Well, we don't have enough time to get into a big because there's a lot of nuance to all of this,
and so much of it, on what I see is the optics side of it. Where you see things like advertising on television or social media recruiting ICE officers, kind of that idea that any geek off the street can literally just say, I want to be an ICE officer and get geared up and sent out there. And then, of course, you know, we've had some changes at the top in terms of DHS and ICE.
Well, I know Christie. Mm-hmm. She couldn't run anything. She should not have been in charge of that. That's much mm-hmm. more complex than to what she should have been doing.
They should have had
that Homan guy or someone like that that was a law enforcement official that knew how to train those agents and line them out.
And ultimately they did end up bringing him in and she's no longer there. I don't necessarily disagree with that take at all and having Homan there. And then, of course, it's Mark Wayne Mullen who's in there now once he gets confirmed. Any thoughts on that? I don't know that he's law enforcement background. Was that surprising to you?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, he's really close to Trump. I know Mark Wayne really well. I'm from Oklahoma. I've known Mark Wayne before he was a congressman.
Uh-huh.
And he's a decent guy.
Yeah.
And he's certainly a lot smarter, and he will be able to be more thoughtful about what they do. And I think that's a healthy change.
Yeah, I do too. There's the temperature is so high around this. Go ahead, Hunter.
No, I'm just kind of I'm in agreement, you know, when you really think about it. I mean, the massive marketing money spent, the photo ops, the this and that Christie did. It's like we're not living in a social media world. You know, it's there and it can be utilized. But when you're doing those kinds of things, you're creating ammunition for the other side to shoot back and say, you know, this is kind of a joke. And that's where my struggles really lie with, you know, kind of Christie's mentality to doing this. And I'm hoping now with a change in leadership and in more direction, we can get back to the job and hopefully not be creating front page news stories.
Got nowhere to go but up.
Right. Before we let you go, Ambassador, is there anything that's happening right now that we're not paying attention to that we really should be?
Well, no. I mean, I think we're paying attention to some things that aren't in the news right now. Like, I think Cuba will be the next thing to fall. Yeah. I think that the whole Venezuela thing was a setup to go get Cuba, and I think that's perfectly good, and take them out and clean them out, and they're, that's going to be happening here pretty soon, I personally feel.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you. I'm seeing that as well, and I think that'll be a good thing. Ambassador, do you have social media or anything like that where people can go? Or you any publication people can read up more on you?
Yeah, I have a guy that posts for me on Twitter and Facebook and stuff, at Rep Rooney. And then I have my book, you know, The Global Vatican, which is available under on Amazon.
Okay, I'll pop that into our show notes. As always, we appreciate your insights on all of this, Ambassador Rooney, and we thank you for taking the time to join us. Always appreciated.
Thanks for having me on. Thank you very
Alrighty.
Much.
You bet, you bet. All right, everybody, we're going to take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and the Perlin Mill.
Alrighty, always good to have Ambassador Rooney on. He's always got an interesting take on things. And like I said, you know, we don't necessarily always agree, but the conversation is good and getting all those perspectives is good.
Yeah, and well, and that's, you know, like you said, the R for Republicans means research. And part of that research is being willing to accept different perspectives and looking at it through those lenses and saying, you know, you have a point here. I may disagree on some stuff, but the premise of things we can tend to kind of find a middle ground to.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And anyway, R means research anymore, right? Exactly, exactly. Well, it is St. Patrick's Day.
The big celebration.
If you look on the KYKN page, there's the Irish prayer. May the road raise up to meet you and the rest of it all, because I don't have it in front of me now. And I'm not going to do the brogue anymore. But I am going to have corned beef and coke cannon tonight for dinner. It is being prepared as we speak.
There you go. So, you know, we, like I said, is in my house. I said it yesterday. I don't mind my you know, my corned beef and cabbage, but it's a little too salty for the taste of other members of my household, so we tend not to. My mom will be doing it over at her house, and I will get a little bit of leftovers as that occurs in the coming days. So
I enjoy it. I mean, my grandparents, the Quinns, were Irish, and we did a lot of lamb and things like that. And so, but then, of course, a really good Irish soda bread with currants in it, or, oh my gosh, it's so good. Or even just scones. Nice, good, delicious scones. Irish food isn't like, you know, flash, wow, cool, awesome. It's kind of peasant food. Potatoes, and it's, you know, but you give me a big bowl of cold cannon, and I am a happy, happy girl.
I'll tell you, the one aspect that always drives me bonkers is that person that wants to turn everything green.
Oh, yuck.
I've known people that literally would do mac and cheese and put green food dye in it. Or
what is it? Mold? Moldy.
Or beer and dye green. I'm just going, come on. We don't need to do that. There's something, I don't know. There's something very visual. I don't remember if you remember. It had to be, let's see, 30 years ago now. Heinz decided that they were going to market ketchup to children by making it purple and green and this and that.
Blue.
My brother bought me a thing of green ketchup. Blech. I couldn't eat it. Nope. So I took it to my cousins, who were at an age where it was very marketed to. They're supposed to love all these cool colors of ketchup. They wouldn't eat it. So there's something with that visual mentality. And when everything has got to be green, I'm going, but it makes it so unappealing visually that you could almost taste the unappeal.
Yeah, it's gross. I mean, let's stick with just, you know, what is it, the river in Chicago? I don't know what, that they dye it green. That's enough. That's all that should be dyed green.
Works for me.
And even that may be a bridge too far. I don't know. Things don't have to be dyed green. But this is interesting. On 1601, the first St. Patrick's Day parade was held in what is now, Ambassador Rooney's backyard, St. Augustine, Florida.
Yep.
Back in 1601.
Well, you got to mention, though, that in 461.
Well, yes.
A few decades ago, St. Patrick's Day became because St. Patrick died on this day.
Yes, yes. Okay. And there's a long story of driving the snakes out of Ireland and all of that. And a lot of it's myth. Some of it is true. In 1776, the Brits evacuate Boston after General George Washington fortified the city with cannons.
All right. In 1959, the 14th Dalai Lama flees Tibet.
Wow. This one, in 69, Golda Meir was elected Israel's first female prime minister.
Wow, in 1969 they had a female prime minister?
Yeah.
You know, women have been in leadership positions. I've always thought that we had to elect one to be historical.
Yeah, well, not in America, but in Israel, yes, huh?
All right. In 1973, the first POWs are released from the Hanoi Hilton in Vietnam.
Oh, God, oh, that always makes me think of Jane Fonda. 1992, South Africa ended apartheid.
And then in 2000, Julia Roberts cashes a $20 million check for playing Erin Brockovich.
See, now, did that movie win? Did she win an Oscar for that? I think she did.
I think she did, too.
Back when people kind of sort of maybe cared about it.
Yeah, that was all the talk. I remember when that movie came out. All the talk. I wasn't one I went and rushed out and saw. I saw it much later. But I remember it being the talk that Julia Roberts is amazing as Erin Brockovich.
I liked Julia Roberts in Notting Hill with Hugh Grant. Back in the early, I really think movies after maybe like around 2007, 2008, they all of a sudden it was like The Message. Erin Brockovich was good. My understanding, obviously, they took a lot of artistic license with it. I just remember the scene where she's like, "They're boobs, Ed. Boobs," because she's like, "How do you get all this attention?" Or something. There was just a funny line in the movie. I can say that on the air. It's not a bad word.
Boobs are okay.
Boobs are okay. So anyway, so St. Patrick's Day. I do like it. My family, again, being Irish, I think we come from County Clare. My sister went back to Ireland, I want to say maybe almost 10 years ago. And got to visit a pub called Quinn's, and they met the bartender there who looked just like my son. Wow. So the Irish roots run strong in the Quinn clan.
There you go. Well, I mean, on my side, my mom is about a quarter Irish. So I guess that makes me like an eighth Irish.
A sliver. A wee bit. You're a wee bit Irish.
A wee bit Irish. But, you know, I would still not mind if we could, you know, find a driveway capable pub that could, you know, create a little community excitement.
Okay, now, I love that. I love that. I saw this story this morning, and it's so New England. Where is it? It's an AP story. It is a feat of festive pubs on wheels bring a taste of Ireland to New England. This is Massachusetts. Now, being a New Hampshire girl, we're not fans of people from Massachusetts. I won't tell you what we call them. But this is a great idea. This is in Reading. I can't remember if it's Reading or Reading. I do like the Cape, though. Going to go to the Cape. But this is they have these little mini pubs that go around, and you can get a pint of Guinness. It looks like a little pint of Guinness. It's a wee Irish pub. They're delivered by tiny pubs. It's a small business run by brothers Matt and Craig Taylor. And I think it's adorable.
Well, see, I absolutely love this idea because the whole premise of it is you virtually bring in this tiny food cart to serve Guinness beer,
and
you create a neighborhood environment, a neighborhood celebration, and it's what is so missing today in society. Yeah. I mean, I've talked to a number of my neighbors, and we're like, we need to just have a big old barbecue and bring the whole neighborhood out and really get to know each other. And it just kind of, it's like, it, you know, it didn't work for one family this weekend or another family, and, you know, it's challenging. But the idea of bringing out a little food cart for something like St. Patrick's Day and just inviting your neighbors to come and enjoy a Guinness, I think it's a reason to help build a little society.
So many important things happened over a pint in a pub. Mm-hmm. I mean, basically, America happened over pints in a pub. When you think about it, really, I mean, so much did. And, you know, you're breaking bread and you're eating, you know, do you like Guinness? I like Guinness. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people don't. My favorite, I had it, and there's my favorite Irish pub. It's called Nana's. It's in Nye Beach in Newport. And they had something called a snake bite, and it's Guinness, and it's hard cider. Mm-hmm. That is one of the best drinks I've ever had. And then you get a scotch egg and a little shepherd's pie, and I'm in, oh gosh, now I'm in heaven and I miss it.
That's right. Now you got to plan a special trip.
I know. That really, we love, if you haven't been to Nana's Irish Pub, you've got to go. It's great. It's awesome.
Yeah, and it's those things that, you know, build up this neighbor. Get to know your neighbors, especially in today. I mean, we talked in the first segment with Ambassador Rooney about all the crazy things going on in the world. We really need to kind of get down to earth and get those neighbors together. With the weather right now, it's getting better and better. Ironically, before we went on the air, we were talking to Ambassador Rooney. It's about 10 degrees warmer here in the Northwest than it is in Florida right now.
Yeah.
So enjoy this early spring.
I know. And it is. It is spring. It's spring is springing. It's not quite spring, you know, officially on the calendar. But I agree with you. And I know in my neighborhood, we got a little bit of a get together and trying to get neighbors. Everyone is so separated. And even in a neighborhood, mm-hmm. And especially if you're rural, your neighbors are a little farther away than if you're more in a more suburban. But I you're right. In block parties, we used to do that when we were kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to know the adults, you get to know everybody. And then if, you know, something crazy happens, you know your neighbors and you got each other's backs. We miss that. We need more of that. What I do have to say, this little pub again, going back to that, apparently they went and visited the pubs around New England, and there's tons of them, and they're great. So every detail has a story. There's a bar built from a front panel of an 1864 piano, church pews. I mean, I love this idea. I'd love to see somebody do that out here.
Yeah.
I just think it's just a cool idea, and everybody's into tiny, tiny everything. So tiny pub.
Especially here where we absolutely love our, you know, our portable
beer?
Cooking. Well, beer. Well, not the young kids anymore. That's what I'm hearing. But us adults, you know, these older generations, we all love our beers and we love our food carts. And there's so many food carts and facilities built around the idea of a food cart. It's like somebody's got to be listening and have this great idea. And in 6 months from now, we're going to be able to order up a little beer dispensary on call.
Right. And you're going to have the Dropkick Murphys playing in the background. Maybe we can get the Dropkick Murphys to come out and play a live show for us all. I think it's great. And maybe, you know, there's entrepreneurs out there all over the place. And the brogue is back. Sorry.
I'll volunteer my neighborhood to be the starting point. Okay.
All right.
Come on down.
I'll see if I can reach the Dropkick Murphys.
There you
I
go.
May know someone.
Just make that phone call.
All right, everybody. We're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. Come on back.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
Alrighty, welcome back everybody to the St. Patrick's Day edition of Newsmakers at Noon. We're going to switch gears a little bit. We're staying with green, though, because we're going to talk about forests. We love green forests, not brown ones.
Or burned ones.
Yeah, well, that's So I want to welcome to the show Nick Smith. He's with the AFRC. He's the Public Affairs Director. And I am going to let him tell you what the acronym. And first of all, welcome, Nick. I'm not going to make you drop an Irish brogue on us. Not going to do that. But go ahead and tell us a little bit about what it is you do with the AFRC, what the acronym stands for. And then let's jump in because there's some cool stuff going on.
Thank you, Denise, and it's great to be back on Newsmakers. I'm with the American Forest Resource Council. Our organization represents the forest sector, and in Oregon, we focus on national forests, BLM Timberlands, which I'm here to talk about this mm-hmm. afternoon. But you know, I think your listeners should know this is the Department of Interior made a significant announcement last month that is a mm-hmm. really big deal for Oregon, in that they announced a notice of intent to revise its management plans for the ONC lands in Western Oregon. Mm-hmm. This, we're talking about 2.4 million acres of forest land in Western Oregon. These were lands that were actually, in terms of federal forest management, they're unique because they were established by Congress back in 1937 to be mm-hmm. managed under sustained yield forestry. And I could tell you what that means in a moment.
Yes, please. Yeah.
But basically these forests, these timberlands were supposed to be managed as working forests.
Yeah.
In that they benefit the communities and under sustained yield forestry, which means that timber is harvested at levels that don't exceed forest growth. So this is mm-hmm. sustainable. Under this arrangement, you would have timber harvested on these lands, and then the revenue from that timber would be shared with the host counties. So that
yes.
is basically all of the counties in Western Oregon, certainly all the counties here in the Mid Valley. And for decades, this partnership between Western Oregon counties and the Bureau of Land Management worked very well. We had
yeah.
prosperous communities.
Mm-hmm.
We had, you know, counties that could provide robust public services without taxes, frankly, mm-hmm. because a lot of that revenue is generated by timber. And I would say, not coincidentally, we didn't have the wildfire and smoke that we're dealing with right now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. And when you look back, so before everything kind of is the way it is now, I mean, a lot of education was funded and the counties were doing really, really well. When did that relationship change?
I would say it changed about around 30 years ago, around the Spotted Owl crisis.
Oh, I wondered if it was the Spotted Owl.
The so-called timber wars. But we've always had this law on the books, this OMC yeah. Act, which requires the Bureau of Land Management to manage these lands under the principles of stain-yield forestry and mm-hmm. and to support our counties and communities. However, I would say that things really changed probably during the Obama administration when Obama imposed new plans, which basically took forest management off of 80% of the landscape. So basically, restricted active forest management, mm-hmm. No timber harvesting, no wildfire mitigation. And, you know, on these lands, and since then, the BLM is harvesting just a quarter of the forest natural growth. So when you have the ONC lands that are not being managed, mm-hmm. you know, maybe not so much here in the Mid Valley, but if you go into Southern Oregon, where these yeah. lands can, you know, federal lands make up 70 to 80% of the land base, yeah. you know, unlike property, you know, you and I own, the federal government doesn't pay property on its taxes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you have all of these lands that, you know, are not being managed. They're not being managed, certainly not to support our communities or our counties. Not for wildfire reduction, mm-hmm. you know, any of those things. And so, you know, I would say here's a chance where we can either restore responsible management that supports jobs, county revenues, forest resilience, or we could just go down the same road, which is, you know, limited management of these lands and increasing wildfire risk.
So let me ask you, Nick, this decision came down. What's been the state of Oregon? What's been the state's response to this?
The state has been quite muted.
Really?
You know, of course, they don't really have a hand in managing. You know, the federal government owns most of the forest land in this state. You know, 61% are managed by our landlords in Washington, D.C. Yep. And mm-hmm. so certainly we would love to have the state of Oregon to say, hey, you know, it's time to get these lands back to work again, you know, managing them for jobs and revenue. Our congressional delegation, you know, certainly mm-hmm. would like to hear more from them. Congressman Bentz, certainly.
I was going to say, I'm assuming you've heard from Bentz.
Absolutely. He's yeah. introduced a bill called the ONC Renewal Act, which codifies a lot of the things that, you know, I think is geared towards getting these timberlands back to work. You know, you're not hearing a lot about it in Salem. I'd love to hear about it more from our representatives in Washington, D.C., but this is something that Oregonians should hear about.
Absolutely. And I have to say, in all honesty, I didn't hear about it until you told me about it.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I know a lot of us who've been, you know, in Oregon, I've been in Oregon forever. And we know what it was like. I know what it was like before the Spotted Owl. And I remember that the Spotted Owl. And of course, we find out, whoop, nope, not the loggers. It's the barred owl. And when we find out, you know, when you look back on it, but so much damage has been done. So what are we looking at now with this decision? Where do we go from here?
That's a good question. So right now, the Bureau of Land Management is accepting comments mm-hmm. from the public. Certainly, they're hearing from the anti-forestry crowd that, you know, we need to maintain the status quo. We need to, you know, keep these forests closed. Just let them burn up. Certainly, what I'd like to see is, you know, Oregonians who, you know, understand what good forest management is, the multiple benefits that you could get from that, from these working lands. There's an opportunity to comment between now and March 23rd. Your listeners could go to Healthy Forests, Healthy Communities website, small nonprofit that I operate, healthyforest.org. The Action Center link would take you to a form where you could send a comment literally under 2 minutes.
Yeah, it doesn't take long. And like we've told people when they, you know, sending a commentary to the legislature, you don't have to write a book. You just need to get kind of be on the record. with how you feel about that, especially folks that remember what it was like before. And of course, the environmentalists, the anti this, they have very loud voices, and so they need to be countered with just as much volume.
You're absolutely right, Denise. You know, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu.
Exactly. Like the spotted owl or the
absolutely,
which was fine, by the way, because again, it was the bar. I just get angry when I think about that, because I remember how that all played out and the propaganda that was pushed out to convince people who didn't really know much but could be swayed with a cute owl. And you look at the industry that drove and built Oregon was just destroyed.
It is very frustrating. Certainly, you and a lot of our listeners know that painful history. I would say the lies that were told, the promises that have been broken, certainly from Washington, D.C. You talk about the spotted owl, you know, how loggers were blamed for its demise.
Yes.
And of course, you know, you just said it. So what is destroying the spotted owl's habitat? Well, it's severe wildfire due to lack of active forest management. And of course, as you mentioned, it is the barred owl, which is competing with these species. And, you know, spotted owl, just like a lot of other wildlife species, need healthy forests. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have a role to play in managing these forests and helping them be healthy and reduce the risk of these really hot, severe wildfires that we're seeing over the past 10 years.
Yeah, we've made a big point of saying how disappointing it is that we even have what we call fire season.
Exactly.
Because we shouldn't, because we have the capabilities to help manage these things and keep these fires somewhat at bay, and yet we just kind of ignore it until it's burning into communities.
You're absolutely right. In fact, a few minutes ago, I saw a story in the Statesman Journal about how they're expecting another big smoke year. This year, like it's normal. It's something that like we have to expect. And, you know, my answer to that is no. You know, we have as a society in the past responsibly managed these forests, kept these forests open and accessible, not just to recreation, but to give our firefighters better and safer opportunities to extinguish these fires before they could blow up and destroy our communities. And so the BLM, decision as is a chance, I think, for a course correction.
Yeah, I sit here and I go and that's all without even mentioning the benefits that the revenue brought into different counties and things like that. Because I'm going, you know, I spent 10 years living over in Central Oregon, where I witnessed Crook County, Prineville area go from multiple mills to, when the housing bubble exploded, the last mill closed down, and the city of Prineville looked like a mass exodus every weekday morning as people were having to leave Crook County to go find work elsewhere.
There are stories like that everywhere. You know, Marion County is still very much a timber county. You know, and out towards the Santiam Canyon, you still have those mills, those loggers, you know, who care for the forest and are working out there every day. But, you know, go down south towards Josephine County, you know, Douglas County, you know, lands that are basically overwhelmed by federal land ownership that, you know, certainly can't be used for other purposes. The one thing they do really well is grow trees.
Yeah.
When you can't, you know, sustainably harvest, you know, that resource, and you cut off these federal lands from any type of economic opportunity for these communities, especially in a place like Josephine County, you know, where you've seen their law enforcement basically decimated, their county government, they're struggling to provide basic services.
Yeah.
You don't hear much about that in Salem, at the state capitol, excuse me, or from our delegation. And so, you know, we need to keep telling those stories and you know, maybe make some changes to our policy.
I was going to say, all of these are choices. We don't have to live like this. All of these have been choices that have happened over the year, and they've compounded in decisions made and policies made to address bad policies and rinse, lather, and repeat. And so obviously we've got an election coming up. So I'm thinking, if you could get some change in leadership or people in those offices that understand the challenges and the needs, especially of the timber communities and what this decision may mean for the state of Oregon, we got to vote differently.
Absolutely. And we also need leaders who understand that there are Oregonians outside of the city of Portland and other pockets.
None that matter. Come on.
Who deserve the place at that table?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, we want a clean environment. We want clean air and water. We want family wage jobs. We want economic opportunity. We want really basic public services. And so, yeah, I mean, it takes, you know, all of us kind of getting involved and obviously voting, but certainly we could use better leadership.
I got to say, you know, the loggers are the best stewards of the forest. The ranchers are the best stewards of, you know, the livestock. The people that are out there doing it with the dirty fingernails and the hardened hands are the ones that need to be at the table and have, to me, the loudest voices.
You're absolutely right. Without healthy, productive forests, we don't have a timber industry. We don't have loggers, you know, the loggers, those who work in the woods.
Yep.
They understand these dynamic environments and what it takes to manage them and keep them healthy and green. And they know a lot more about the woods than folks who would rather us not be in the forest at all.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Nick Smith again. Where's a website people can go to learn more? Tell us again the website if they want to submit testimony and the timeline on that.
Healthyforests.org. So healthyforests.org. Click to the Action Center. There's a form right there. It takes less than 2 minutes to send a comment to the BLM.
And I will put that in our show notes for everybody who's driving and can't take a note. I will put that in there. Nick, we appreciate you coming in and sharing this. And anytime anything like that pops up, let me know. Because like I said, I didn't know until you told me. So we need to be able to find out from folks like you that are in the industry and that are advocating for, in this case, our great timber industry in the state of Oregon. We appreciate you.
I appreciate being on the program. Thank you.
All right. We're going to take our last break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli and Salem Clinic Urgent Care.
I wonder if Cozy's is doing something. I don't know. Subs really aren't. They're Italian, so maybe not. Because I'm Irish and Italian. I could have like a wedge sandwich with corned beef and coal cannon on it?
Maybe. I mean, you could always make that phone call and see if they have any kind of, St. Patty's Day specials.
Just again, real quick, the website that Nick mentioned was healthyforests.org. And again, I will put that all in show notes. That's good stuff because we were talking off air, just the cost of building and the fact that Oregon imports timber.
Yeah.
The heck?
Well, and I just sit here and go, you know, we talk about how everything is so Portland-centric, these large metro areas along the I-5 corridor that rule the roost in this state. Well, if only the people there would start to realize that their housing crisis that we're constantly told about, we don't have enough houses, we need more houses, we need to be able to build houses, we could reduce the cost of doing that if we would open up, do some logging, use some local mills, and create, use that capitalism to kind of lower the cost of the goods to build a house.
That's a dirty word to these people. But you're right. And again, like I said, when we were chatting with Nick, all of this is choices. This is policy choices. This is who you vote for. This is who you put in there. Again, the spotted owl thing is a blot of shame on this state, as far as I'm concerned. And it was a manipulation of the electorate, like the left is constantly doing. That's, and now here we are importing logs. Try to go from start to finish to do a custom build. You've got to maybe have a seven-figure income. I mean, it's ridiculously outrageous.
Well, that's the thing. I'm sitting here going, what are we seeing being built right now locally? It's tract homes, apartments, and things like that, which are relatively lower cost because they can literally just buy the goods from overseas or from somewhere else in mass, where if to do a custom build right now, I'd have to sit here and say you'd be hard-pressed to recoup what you spend, even years from now to build a custom home.
Exactly. And even like I have a cabin, you have a cabin on the lake. Both of the cabins are solid wood. They were built a long time ago. They're standing strong as all get out. Mm-hmm. And they're warm and cozy and lovely. And so many of these newer builds are cheap and stapled and particle board, and they're just crap.
Well, and that's the thing. I sit here and I think about my family's cabin and I go, it is a wonderful place. It's kind of the envy of the community because anything similar really isn't there anymore. There's new builds. Mm-hmm. And I go, there's not a lick of insulation in this thing. But yet it is nice and warm and cozy with these big round logs creating the walls.
Yeah, yeah. And the same with mine has some insulation. It's not a log cabin, but it is solidly wood. Mm-hmm. And it is, you know, you put a wood stove in there and you're happy as a little clam at, you know, 16 below. And then again, you know, with all the rules and regulations and the fees and the this and the that, to just stick a shovel in the ground, what were we, was it like 2 years?
Yeah. Yeah, it's time consuming, which time is money, whether you it or not. It's the reason I won't sit in a long line at a discount gas station, because my time's worth more than saving a dime on a gallon of gas. But I'm just sitting here going, time is money. The money that you must invest to get all the permits and all the approval from some government bureaucracy. And then you throw on the cost of every day that you're waiting, the cost of the raw materials seems to be getting more expensive. How would you go about building a custom home without cutting every corner you can to keep it reasonably priced?
Yeah, I just see the horror stories. I'm not going to mention any builder names, not anybody that we know, and certainly no one local. Mm-hmm. But there are some of these big national chains that, you know, have sort of a monopoly on all of that. And the horror shows of, because, you know, that's your biggest investment in life, mm-hmm. for most people.
Oh, yeah.
And you go in and you buy that and you come in, and then it's like, I've seen horror stories with mold and then just shoddy construction and things don't match and things are not, I mean, ugh. So I'm all for a stick-built, beautiful wood home. And so this is an interesting and exciting decision. So like you said, the BLM is accepting, and that's Bureau of Land Management, mm-hmm. not the other BLM.
Not the other one.
Not the other one. Through March 23rd. So again, appreciate Nick's time coming in and letting us all know anything about that. So, or everything about that. So again, yeah, it is St. Patrick's Day. I do love St. Patrick's Day. It is
a fun holiday. You know, seeing on the news this morning, they made a big point of the amount of drinking that occurs on this day and making sure you're safe and getting home safely if you decide to head out and enjoy some beer at your local pub.
does icky, cheap green beer even get you buzzed? I mean, it's like...
Well, enough of it, you know.
to me, ew. I'm not a beer drinker anyway. Like I said, it's called a snake bite, the drink mm-hmm. I was talking about that Nana's has. That's good. I like that. But Guinness is like eating a meal.
Well, actually, I'll tell you the funniest part of this story I watched this morning on Fox 12 was they mentioned binge drinking, okay? Mm. And they said, which is 5 beers if you're a woman and 6 beers if you're a man. And I sat there and said, but they don't differentiate the difference between man and woman. So how is one more beer in a man? I'm confused.
Why does a man get an extra beer?
Oh, it's the patriarchy. Oh, it totally is. It is just those men just got there saying, we get an extra beer before we qualify as binge drinking.
Women, we have all of it over you.
Granted, I don't know if you should binge drink the Guinness. Let's just put it this way.
Oh, no. Can you even? Again, it's food.
Oh, yeah. I don't think you could. But, you know, make sure you go out and you safely celebrate your St. Patrick's Day.
Well, and I'm going to do it. That cold cannon, I'm looking forward to it. And I know things are on the stove right now, so I'm super excited. The mustache is working on it.
Just wait till you
Because he's the
whiff.
Cook in the family.
Wait till you get the whiff of it when you walk in the door.
Yum, it's going to be good. Well, everybody, that is it. We're just about out of time. Yeah. Happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Go out there, celebrate responsibly. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.